From Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
We'll with tonight's special guest, transformational and empowerment coach, Destin Garrick.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Enlightened Music Series. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, your MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
We have a big show today. We are talking about hitting the ground running with the new year. This is 2015, only our second show, and this we've got another first. We've got Destin Garrick with us today, who's going to be talking about some really exciting stuff that's happening this weekend, but is happening all over and happening all the time. And we'll be talking about that. And then through his transformational work that he does. And then we have a full quartet. It'll be our very first orchestral quartet here in the studio, live in Studio NoHo. And it's quite cozy in here and actually quite beautiful with everybody here. I love having this place full of such beautiful energy and such beautiful people, and not to mention beautiful music. You know, it's interesting. This has been a self-fulfilling prophecy. I grew up playing the violin. I grew up singing, and I was very close to music, and I always wanted to be around music. And all of a sudden, the show has taken on such a big music part. And we've talked about it, and without realizing it, well, we've realized it, but it's here. And it's interesting, that ties into our show today so well, because every time we talk about something, people say, oh, affirmations don't work. Well, maybe we don't do them enough, but a lot of the affirmations do work when we're talking negative about ourselves, because those we seem to do a lot of. And so this war thing, we're going to be talking today about war of the sexes. And this war thing, studies have been coming out that when you declare war on something, you actually make it happen if it wasn't there, or you make more of it if it was there, and you make it more of a problem than it was. So the war on drugs was, quote unquote, hugely unsuccessful. Well, technically, it was hugely successful for somebody, because maybe somebody wanted a war on drugs. And maybe somebody profited off of a war on drugs, but we're not going to go there tonight. But the fact is that once we declared, or somebody declared, war on drugs, there were more drugs, and there still have been. And so the war on sexes, it seems like it's a losing battle. And if this were a funny thing, like, I don't know, the war on comedy, and there was just more laughter going on, then we could say, okay, keep up the war, let's laugh. But the sexes not coming together and battling each other in real life is not funny. It's really life-wrecking. That's what that is. So the war on sexes, you know, let's not declare it. Let's declare something else today. So the war on sexes is a great way to start a conversation, I think, about another way to have a conversation about what that is.
Yeah, this is something that we've talked about across a number of shows in terms of these affirmations. And, you know, it's like that that first week of exercise after the New Year's, right? You know, people talk about how fit they're getting, or
the once a month workout that a lot of people do. And
like, I don't know why I'm not getting healthy, because I work out, but they work out once a month. Well, if you say one affirmation, yet everything else that's going through your mind is contrary to that, or you're seeing media and you know, getting other affirmations from all sorts of other input, which I think we're going to hear a bit of today, you know, then you're operating on a whole different plane than this occasional remembrance of what you really want to be participating in, or how you really want to be, you know, acting or playing or having sex or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, I can't wait to get into this right away with our guests, because, I mean, people say this all the time, like, oh, of course, you know, women are from Mars and men are from Jupiter. I don't know. Where are men supposedly from? Venus. No, women are from Venus and men are from... It doesn't matter.
Or both.
We don't have him on the show who wrote that. He wrote it. It's wrong. It's just wrong. So why start off like that? So with that, we have our guest, Destin Garrick, in the studio when we come back right after this.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. A little later on in the show, we have Enlightenment Music Series. They're going to play for us Vivaldi. We have guests in that quartet that are the leading recording artists in the world for films and TV, like Marina Manoukian, Sarah Andon, Peter Kent, and Dennis Karmazian. Actually, not Peter Kent. We have Mark Gosborough. He's going to be here. And so with that, I'm excited and looking forward to that. In the meantime, let us talk to our guest, Destin Garrick, who is a transformational empowerment coach who specializes in helping people awaken their sexual energy. And this is interesting because we were talking about war of the sexes. Let's awaken the energy in that conversation. Welcome, Destin, to the conversation.
Thank you, Filippo and Mark. It's really a pleasure to be here with you both.
Actually, this is your conversation. Thank you for welcoming us into your conversation and what you're putting out there. So
I am in this conversation all the time.
Yeah. So we see this everywhere. Of course, mm-hmm. You know, the sexes battle. Of course, because it's in the media, in the advertising, in the literature. What's so wrong about this?
I'm going to step it back just a little bit further. I mean, yes, it's in our media and saturates us throughout our culture. But for a large percentage of us, certainly myself, it started for us in our parents' home.
Mm.
And so it really has been a generational passing off of this war, just as you could look at like the Israel-Palestine war, how it just like gets passed on from generation to generation, where you don't even how do you end something where it just seems that the wrongs go back for so.
There's a built-in expectation.
It's like the air that we
breathe.
To
fight. Yeah.
It's in the air.
When it's all we've ever known. It can be so difficult to imagine anything but it. And I think that that's really, well, I know that you two are really part of this whole conversation around evolving our consciousness. Well, I really view my role, I've taken it on, however you want to look at it, to be helping make sure that we bring our sexuality along for that ride, that how does what does it mean to evolve our sexual consciousness? And part of that has to do with how we really relate to our sexuality and as a whole, but within that is how we relate between men and women, the masculine and the feminine, both the masculine and feminine that exists within each one of us, as well as, of course, within our relationships or even, you know, people that you're meeting on the streets.
Not even bringing it along for the ride. It's getting it out of the trunk and putting it up in the front seat.
Yeah, I'm fully on board there. You're speaking the choir there. Because I agree on the front seat aspect. Arguably, it's an area of our lives that's most in need of consciousness shift, that we are incredibly screwed up, not just in U.S. culture, but really through much of the world, more than not, in just in different kinds of ways around our sexuality. It's been pushed into the basement for so long. Now, maybe over the past, I don't know, we'll say 50 years, that cork has kind of been released from the bottle, where the church had a stranglehold on our sexuality and its expression for so long. And now that's different than it was. But from my view, what has happened is that when you take something that's been repressed for so long and then you finally release it, when it first comes out and explodes out and saturates our culture, it's not going to be in its healthiest form, and it's not. But the consciousness that we can bring to it, you know, if consciousness is shedding light on that which has been in the darkness, we have this opportunity now to not just be at the effect of our past, to not just be reacting from, you know, the external stimuli of what's been, but to consciously choose, okay, what do we want to create? What is possible for us with our sexuality? And I mean, so much more than what, like, the porn world teaches us of what's possible with our sexuality, of, you know, I don't think there's a way to speak about it using clean language, but let's put it more in the positive note of what I really see as possible is coming to those places of true mind, body, spirit, sexual connection, where whether it's for a lifetime partnership or even just an evening, where you can connect without fear, where you can drop into places of deep intimacy, and where your place of connection and sexual connection can be a real and true sharing of souls, really, of a merging of essences, where it's mutually serving, where both individuals end up feeling like they gave of themselves and somehow both walked away with more. And our dating world today seems to focus more on, what can I get from this person? Because, well, I don't even know if I'll ever see them again. Let me just check Tinder again for who's next.
The more you hear about a lot of what you're talking about in terms of the energy and these aspects that were never brought in, at least for me especially, and I had an old school Catholic upbringing, a very conservative upbringing, and so much of this wasn't introduced. But it's almost, using the ride analogy, it's like being given a car and you have the gas and the engine and no steering wheel. And it's like, go. You know, we were never really given the kind of the whole package, and this is what you're bringing forward.
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, when you're speaking of it in that context, at least we got a driver's ed before we got behind the wheel of that car with our sexuality. The closest that, you know, our culture right now has been saturated in that combination of abstinence-only sex education, quote-unquote, and a saturation of hardcore internet pornography. And, you know, that is a very dangerous combination. It does give us a very distorted education from, I mean, especially those younger than we are, a very distorted ideas as to what sex is and what it's for and how men and women are to act and behave. So even if on a conscious level you're thinking that there's something else, how do I put this? You know, there was a study done in Canada, I believe it was, a year or so ago, in which they were doing the study. I think they were just focusing on college-age men and for the control group, they were looking for men who had never consumed pornography, and then they had the larger group.
Did they find any?
They couldn't find a single one. They could not find a single one. So this is precisely the point. That ended up being the big thing that came out of this research study. So
good thing they don't need that selecting jurors.
So the point being, like, you, even if on an intellectual level, like, we have this idea that okay, you know, we know that there's something else, we know it's just like entertainment, or we know it's a distorted view, still, even in quote unquote like conscious communities, most people are consuming, especially most men, are consuming some degrees, often a lot, of porn. And it's going to seep its way into the unconscious mind. And particularly once you're talking about going into heightened states of arousal and states of orgasm, I believe that in those points, it's like that bridge between the conscious and the unconscious minds, the veil is thinned. Mm. So you're dropping into those deeper parts of your unconscious mind. What's often relatively violent and misogynistic imagery, but even, like, let's put that aside for a moment, because, you know, let's put that aside for a moment. Even beyond that, it's still, even the best of what I find still doesn't touch upon what is really possible for us. And most you know, a lot of people have had tastes of this. Those moments of falling in love with a partner where, you know, they're in that peak experience with a partner where it's just like everything else disappears. The mind is completely still. It's just they're in a state of rapture with this person. It's as if the two beings kind of merge into one. Nothing else exists. They're fully in their body, fully in their senses, and it's just pure ecstasy. I mean, that's a tantric experience. The thing is, for most people, that is something that happens accidentally during, you know, maybe they can look back at forevermore. But, you know, there are things that we can cultivate to make that more of our normal experiences. And that's what I want to see in film.
You know, I have to say that I always thought we would have this kind of a conversation with a woman. And I do want to have this conversation with a woman or with a man and a woman at the same time. But I have to say, having you here, it's kind of like having both, because I'm kind of hearing things that I would expect to hear from a woman. And maybe that's part of the answer, is that we're not all men. Men are not all man, and women are not all women, that there's a femininity in men as well and a masculinity in female. Yeah. And if we maybe understand that we have the elements of both, then there's no war unless we're warring within ourselves, which that's a whole other show.
Exactly. We are warring within ourselves.
So I know you're going to be talking about this and so much more actually this weekend. When we come back, we'll talk about your weekend. But for those who want to get a little preview, you can go to evolvelivela.com. And a little later on, Destin is going to give a huge discount actually, for those who are listening to the show right now and who are in LA or can come to LA for this coming weekend's event. When we come back, I'd like to know what happened to you to think that I can take this on. You know, I could talk about this. I could do this. You know, I'm really curious in that. When we come back with our guest, Destin Garrick, and a little later on in the show, our musical guest, Enlightenment Music Series, right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino, on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo. I'm here with Mark and our guest, Destin Garrick. Again, evolvelivela.com is his website. He's a transformational empowerment coach. Today we're not talking about any war of the sexes. That's not what we're talking about today, at least not here. Where did you come onto this subject? When were you a kid? Why?
Yeah.
How?
There are so many examples that I can point to, and that's kind of the point. As far as the kid, yeah, I grew up in what can be referred to as a broken home, where I can recall by the time I was in middle school, I joined every extracurricular activity that I could just to avoid going home, because home was a war zone. You know, there was yelling and screaming constantly, sometimes between my parents, sometimes, you know, we'd get the collateral, my sister and I. And that's all, I mean, that was my model of relationship. And so then when I was in high school and I started getting into relationships of my own, at first it felt like solace. At first it felt like, oh, this is, you know, I felt a sense of receiving something that I was missing as a child. But then at some point along the way, each of my relationships just seemed to devolve into a replication of that which I grew up in.
Wow, yes.
And I would often find that my partners had very similar experiences. Mm-hmm. That I have a hard time telling what these numbers are like on a larger scale and what it is that I attract into my life because of my own experience. But yeah, the women that I'd be with, they came from very, you know, challenging home lives often as well. So that was one major early part. But the second major part, which I only started talking about a few months ago after, you know, I've been kind of doing aspects of work around sexuality for 18 years. So a few months ago, I finally realized this is important to talk about, that when I was in high school, I was, I think, about 16 years old, and I started seeing this girl, and like 2 weeks after we started, quote, going out, she broke up with me. And why? Because I raised my voice to her on the phone. At least that was the initial thing, which was totally normal to me, and I didn't understand what the problem was. And a couple weeks later, she sat me down like after school outside of some blockers on the ground, and she shared with me that 6 months earlier, on her 15th birthday, her boyfriend at the time raped her. And I ended up being the first person that she told. And I was 16 years old. I did not know what to do with this. I experienced every emotion you could imagine. A lot of rage. I wanted to hunt down this kid. And, well, the visual I kept getting was hammer a nail through his testicles.
Rage.
Oh. And mixed with feelings of helplessness and It was a lot. About a year later, she and I decided to try again, and we ended up in a 3-year relationship, during which I feel that this rape was present the entire time. On a physical level, there were countless nights that I would be sitting on the bathroom floor holding her hand while she was crying and screaming in pain on the toilet from near constant UTIs and bladder infections. To, on an emotional level, no matter how closely we'd get, there just always seemed like there was something in the way. And so I made this decision at that time, and, you know, I was 19 maybe, so I couldn't foresee so much of how things ended up unfolding. But I made this decision at this time that I was going to do anything and everything that I could to help create a world in which things like rape and sexual assault became barbaric relics of a past. And
well said.
Here we are, you know, still working
well
it.
Yes, there's still some work ahead, but this is
what, you know, the reassociation is so prevalent. So then you go back to the connectedness of some of what we were talking about, right? So we're growing up, we see these things in media, we see them, even the commercials. I think more damage is done in 60 seconds to young kids because that, even though that fits because of clever editing, even though, you know, it fits in what's approved media, but, you know, there's the power of suggestion, there's taking it just far enough and then editing to the next clip.
60
and
that seconds, goes, sound bites for 3 seconds.
Well, true, exactly. But then that goes into reaffirmations of these moments. So you see these domestic disputes, these arguments, the step, the almost hit, the whatever the case may be, and all it does is continue to remind, resurface, re-anchor.
Sure. Even in our social media and blogosphere these days, it seems that the types of articles that get and news stories that get the most traction, just like the rest of our media, are those that have kind of the most extreme voices. And so it just seems that it feels that the criticisms, the blamings and the shamings, or even competition of who has things harder or worse, just right. seem like there's this, it just feels like it's at a fever's pitch. And it's like there's no solution to be found there. You cannot find a solution through blaming and shaming. You can't. The solution, from what I see and what I is really here. It's really in the heart. It's really in building bridges of compassion, empathy, and understanding between men and women. And what you're saying, Filippo, earlier about how within each of us lives different blends of masculine and feminine energies, I think that part of the answer is definitely held there. You know, for there has been more work over the past maybe 20 years, particularly through David Data's work, getting out into the world, that brings a lot of focus to playing with sexual polarity and the power of intentionally working with masculine and feminine dynamics to create polarity energy that creates strong attraction. And I think that's absolutely true. And if you don't know much about it, it's definitely worth diving more into. With
all of this is definitely worth diving
and
more into.
What I did a lot of diving into that world, but it just always felt to me something's missing in this conversation. Something's missing in this conversation. And where I've been landing with it is okay, like what about... yes, I discovered I have an incredible masculine essence that I denied for a good chunk of time, as I learned somewhere growing up through these experiences and others that men and the masculine were kind of responsible for the problems of the world. And there, and a social ideal of what being a man is, that I, at some point, probably unconsciously, I decided I don't want to be that. That doesn't speak to me. I don't identify with it. I don't want it. And I pushed it away for a very long time. I got very in touch with my feminine side, but then by my late 20s, I realized something's really off here. Something's really imbalanced. And I went on my own really powerful transformational journey of reconnecting to my masculine essence. And I ended up making that the basis of my professional work for quite a long time, working with men who experienced similar things to find that part within themselves. But I found something's missing here. Something's not working. It's like, okay, well, what about my feminine? Because I have come to a place where, by pretty much anybody's account, I've been extremely successful in the women and sex realms. And I'm not the most masculine man in the world. I can drop into an incredibly powerful masculine place. And yes, that's part of it. But I do very much believe that my connection to my feminine energy is a huge part of that success as well. And it's the ways in which I have found my peace with my blend, that really is my fully expressed, fully actualized self, that's not based on somebody else's idea of what it's supposed to be. That allows me to dance and swim between these different parts of me, as well as have a deep understanding of one another. And that's the part that I think speaks to what you were saying. I believe the reason why we have the masculine and feminine within us, it's sort of like the yin-yang symbol, and how it's not just a black on one side, white on the other, but rather black with the white center, white with the black center. It's that we have, as men, since those in this room are, we have feminine within us, so that the masculine can create that polarity, our feminine can create compassion, empathy, and understanding.
You know, this goes to the very essence of the universe. And when they start, you know, when you look at a lot of the new sciences now, you know, waking up or validating the ancient knowledge, and there's this dance going on of awakening and recognition of old wisdom. And, you know, when you go down to, let's say, the atomic level, right, there's plus and there's minus. There's this dance, right? You know, when you continue to grow in larger scale, that same energetic dance is going on. And so those two beings, like you're talking about, have the male and feminine, and then when you combine, you're still dancing male and feminine energy. And so there's this whole energetic dance that we were never really encouraged to understand. And so most men don't even know how to express that word feminine, and or that challenges them, because their archetype, they don't have a level of self-awareness that you have, or the courage to look inward, and they believe, you know, I'm supposed to be the Marlboro man, or whatever other archetype they, you know, grew up with, seeing as their male role model or example.
Yeah. And then, you know, there are these two different types of men that are very prevalent in our society today. There are those who are exactly what you're speaking of, trying to be the most, like, you know, macho masculine man that they can be and know how to be. And then there are these other men who, you know, I'd say populate a lot of the spiritual communities, who are quite disconnected from their masculine core, and, you know, have been put all of their attention and awareness into, you know, from a chakra perspective, their heart and their spirit are up and are very disconnected in their first three chakras and their sense of power, their sexuality.
It's a loss of balance and almost in the other direction.
Happy to hear you say that. Mm-hmm. This is such a great conversation. I wouldn't have expected you to say that. And that is, I think, an issue with a lot of people being unattracted, a lot of men especially, being unattracted to the quote-unquote spiritual community, because they don't see themselves represented there.
Absolutely.
And finding the balance, I think, is really important. When we come back, you're going to be talking about some things at your spiritual, sexual, transformational weekend, and I would love for you to share with our audience a few of what those things are. And then if you could also share what that great discount that you're, or however you want to share it, when we come back with our guest, Destin Garrick. And of course, we are anticipating our musical guest, Enlightenment Music Series, as well, when we come back. During the break, you can also check out evolvelivela.com to learn more about our guest. And of course, you can always hear this show again if you didn't believe it the first time, or if you didn't get it, hear it again at lifechangesshow.com. We'll be back right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars, guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back, and the guest today has been Destin Garrick, who is the Transformational Empowerment Coach. He's got a weekend coming up that we want to know about. Tell us. I want to know about so much more, actually, but at least tell us that.
Yeah, sure. So it's called Evolve Live, a spiritual sexual transformation. And we have over 200 people registered for this event.
Wow.
We're actually in our last push to sell out the event. So that's one of the reasons why I'm giving all of your lovely listeners a very hefty discount, which if you go to evolvelivela.com and when you hit RSVP or enter promo code LIFECHANGES, one word, and you'll see that highly generous discount at that time. And so again, go to evolvelivela.com and RSVP and promo code Life Changes.
Very nice. And do you have to be a couple? Do you have to come as a couple?
No, you don't. Okay. Great question. But we do have, you'll save even more if you register as a couple. But even if you do come as a couple, this is primarily about your individual work. Now, of course, if both you and your partner come and you're both doing your deep individual work, it's going to have a massive effect on your relationship.
Of course. But
we do have some pieces that will really have you interact with each other if you are in partnership, but there will be other parts where you'll intentionally be separated to be able to open up and share in ways that maybe you'd be more hesitant to directly to your partner. But through that process, it will allow you to come back to your partner more open, more connected, and with a deeper connection and hopefully more intimacy, more passion as well.
What are some of the things that people get to work on?
Yeah. Friday is your connection to yourself. A big piece of that ends up revolving, culminating in this guided visualization experience to help you see, feel, and experience now who you will be on the other side of this as your fully empowered, integrated self beyond these constructions. Saturday is your connection to each other. So here, this is the first part of the day is probably going to be the most confronting, just to warn you. But
and that can be good.
It will be good. I mean, the thing is, if stuff doesn't come up for you, then I'm not doing my job right. So it is designed for your challenging stuff to come up because, you know, there's a saying, you have to feel it to heal it. Mm. And isn't it time for you to finally really heal it? So come address that. We bring all of that up. There's an opportunity to bear witness to each other's pains and wounds as well. Create these bridges of compassion, empathy, and understanding, as I keep referencing. Have that all open up into forgiveness. Forgiveness of self, forgiveness of one another. And then now we have all that space opened up. We move into this whole tantric puja style experience that's rooted in adoration, worship, and devotion. And utilizing the masculine, utilizing the feminine, utilizing the other as an opportunity to connect deeper to the divine, really. And through that, see the divinity within. And that leads us into the third day, which is you're bringing this new you out into the world, and as well as how we can create a larger change. And this culminates with a panel of incredible experts that I've hand curated to have the conversation on evolving our sexual consciousness. Where are we now? What's possible for humanity? And what is it going to take for us to get there? So it's a very full weekend. A throw on top of that, a Friday night cocktail party with incredible performances, a Saturday night a tantric masquerade party, and you're in for a good time and incredible transformational change.
I would so be there. I'm performing this weekend, actually, out of town, but I would so be, yeah, blow it off. Come, you need this, and I probably do, but at least we've had you here, and what can I say? I like what I'm hearing. Mm. I want to hear more. I want to know more. And if you want to know more, you can go to evolvelivela.com. And you can also go to this spiritual sexual transformational weekend. And I'm assuming eventually there'll be books and DVDs and all of that. I think
the book is in the works,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. Okay,
it's been weighing on me for a while. It's on its way out.
It feels like, though, you got started however many years, you said 16 years ago or mm-hmm. something, that there's this like exponential thing about to happen. It's going to go whoosh.
It feels that way.
Yeah.
Well, and it seems like this is obviously advanced stuff and it's geared towards kind of the adult community, but it seems like maybe we all could encourage, rather than just the birds and the bees, maybe the birds, the bees, and the buzz, you know, for kids to really
and the
start
what?
Learning. The buzz, you know, the energy, the vibration.
Oh, ooh, the buzz.
Yeah, so
I like that. I feel the buzz in the room right now as it's full of love. Thank you so much. This is really, yeah, I wasn't making fun of it. I'm seriously, this. I feel really good. And I like the way you were describing things. I'm like, I'm getting into it. So I'm getting into it.
Good.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Philippe. Well, thank you for having me on.
Thank you, Destin Garrick. And our guests are already in, musical guests are already filling up the studio with music buzz. And they are known as Enlightenment Music Series. Of course, they are also individuals. Their group is made up of individuals. First of all, today we have a quartet, but they could be heard in groups of sevens or nines or whatever. And it's chamber music, so it probably doesn't get bigger than what?
15, sometimes even larger group like 18.
That's still considered chamber?
Absolutely.
Oh, yes. That's a big chamber. Okay, so who you just heard is violinist Marina Manukian, and she's the leader of the group. We've got flutist Sarah Andon, who's here with us, and we've worked together. We haven't figured out where yet, but it might have been my dreams, but we really have. And we've got Dennis, say your last name. I said it wrong last time.
Carmazin.
Oh, Carmazin. I was close. Dennis Carmazin, he's a cellist. And we've got, did I say your name right, Mark? Mark Gasparo?
That's close. Gasparo.
Oh, Gasparo. Is that Italian?
Yeah.
Oh, I should know how to say that. Filippo, Mark Gasparo. All right, so each of these musicians, they are in Hollywood, and Hollywood's leading film and TV recording artists. Now, that for those who are in this community, they know that's saying a lot. And if you don't know what that means, it means that they're picked from the cream of the crop from people all over the world, as you could see. Themselves, they're from all over the world. That play, because the movies they can afford, the large ones can afford the best of the best, and they are that. And these artists are so busy, and yet they still dedicate their time to a nonprofit organization. Marina, can you take a minute and tell us about that?
Yes. First of all, we're delighted and honored to be on your show, Felipe. Thank you very much for inviting us to be part of it. And
thank you for being here.
We are looking forward to performing for your audience. A few words about our organization, the Enlightenment Music Series. Since our inaugural concert in 2006, our series, the Enlightenment Music Series, have been presenting free concerts for listeners ranging from connoisseurs to chamber music newcomers of all ages, and providing listeners with the comprehensive perspective on the art of classical music. Throughout the years, we have helped many newcomers discover the magic and beauty of this genre and help them create a sense of temporary escape from the daily stresses that we all encounter. We have given free concerts at churches and schools, and have helped raise funds for charity organizations such as Red Cross and Japan Earthquake Relief Fund, and intend to organize more fundraising concerts. Our members, we are very honored to have such great talent as part of our musicians list. Of course, today we are going to hear soloist and renowned flutist Sarah Andon, a wonderful, great cellist who has played for over 4,000 movie scores, Dennis Carmazin, and Mark Gasparo, who's not only a pianist, he's also an amazing arranger, composer, and an orchestrator. So you can see how much great talent we have right here today.
And you've been playing since you were 11.
Thank you. Yes, I actually was the youngest professional musician in a former Soviet Union, received a professional job playing for the violin ensemble of Radio Television National Orchestra.
Wow.
So our members are part of large groups, like you mentioned, also Philharmonic, Opera, Hollywood Bowl. We have Dennis, who's the principal of Hollywood Bowl, principal cellist. We've been bringing concerts to many audiences who, due to their economic hardship, cannot afford to attend pricey organizations such as the ones I mentioned above. So this is our way of bringing classical music to them. And our concerts are admission free. We have, it's a nice event to have nice entertainment, great music and fun and socializing. We have actually an event coming up.
Right. For those who aren't going or can't go to your weekend, Destin, there is something happening that you're doing this weekend. Tell us about that.
Yes, we have a concert this coming Sunday in Pasadena at 4 p.m. at the neighborhood church in Pasadena. And we will be playing an amazing program of music of Vivaldi. He is the red-haired priest whose music is very well known now. And we will be performing some of his compositions that are not so well known, but amazing works. And, of course, we'll feature our soloists, Sarah Anden, Dennis Karmazin, Peter Kant, myself, and Mike Gasparo will be playing the basso continuo part. So the details you can find on our website on www.enlmusicseries.org.
Now, if people went to enlmusicseries.org, can they also donate money there to your organization?
Absolutely. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and we hope that we will be able, with the help of the public and our audience, we will be able to continue bringing even more great educational and enlightening concerts, and the ones to inspire many generations in making classical music an essential part of their lives.
We want to give out a shout out to Mike Gatto, who
Absolutely. We will be, we are very honored. We just found out that the district assemblyman will be attending our event.
This coming weekend.
Yes.
Right. And you also have an event coming up on the 15th of February. And I know somebody who's vying for being a part of that. Me, actually.
So we would be delighted to have you participate.
Thank you. So
it would be our honor.
And mine as well. So stay tuned for that. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to hear Essential Enlightenment Music Series playing the essential music of Vivaldi, a lesser known piece. What's it going to be, actually?
Yes, it's going to be La Folia, which is his sonata number 12. Based on a melody dating back to 15th century. It's an Iberian melody, and La Folia has served as a foundation of many pieces throughout the history of music. The first one was by Jean-Baptiste Lully back in 1672, and after him, Corelli, Scarlatti, Vivaldi, Bach, Handel, they all followed. Even in the 19th century, the La Folia appeared in the second movement of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, believe it or not, and Franz Liszt is Rhapsody Espagnol.
Wow.
So it's a delightful melody, and
and we're going to be delighted by it.
Looking forward to performing.
Us too. As soon as we come back right after this.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page.
We are back, and now we are ready to hear the beautiful music played by Enlightenment Music Series with specifically Marina Manoukian, Sarah Anden, Dennis Karmazin, and Mark Gasparo. Here is Vivaldi.
Thank you. Thank you.
Just heard the Enlightenment Music Series presenting a beautiful rendition of a Vivaldi piece with violinist Marina Manukian, flutist Sarah Andon, cellist Dennis Karmazin, and keyboardist, well, harpsichord, what is a harpsichord, clavichord, what was that today?
Today it's a harpsichord.
Today it's a harpsichord, okay. Mark Gasparo, or Gasparo. Thank you.
Thank you
on behalf of all our listeners, I am sure, and all the people that are going to be enjoying this in the archives to come. But I have to say to you that you just gave me an experience that I've never had. And ever since I was a little child, I used to play the violin, but I never was good enough to play in any... Well, I played in the school orchestra, but I never was part of a quartet. Today, I felt like I was not only part of the quartet, I was in it. I was so close to you that I could be hit by the cellist's bow. Yes, thank you for telling me what it's called. I told you, I used to play the violin. And as soon as you started playing, I'm like, wow, I'm not listening to them. I'm in this. It just, if you could...
That is our goal, to have our audience as part of this intimate experience of chamber music.
To embrace.
That's what chamber music is. Right.
And just engage
and bring everybody together through the beauty of music, spiritually and emotionally. So
I love that. What's a phrase you like to use about music and medicine?
It's a remedy without side effects.
And I'm listening to this piece. I remember hearing the beginning part. Maybe it was Corelli's version or somebody else's version. But then I don't remember the rest of it. But so it was something new to me. And I realized this is a very difficult piece. Not very many orchestras can play this or tackle it. So people get
to... It is technically challenging. Every variation requires a different type of technique.
Yeah, I have never heard a cello go that fast. I mean, that's a low instrument to go that fast. And I mean, the violin too, but I've at least... So I have to say, for people to get to experience this and for free is a beautiful thing that you do.
Yes, and this Sunday, they can experience this particular piece, La Folia, we will be playing again, and many more concertos. Cello concerto featuring Dennis and flute concertos featuring Arsera and violin concertos and much more.
Featuring you?
Yes, myself and my colleagues also.
And Mark, you'll be playing something else?
No, this.
You'll be playing that?
We couldn't do without Mark. He's our bass. He's our basso continuo.
This is the rhythm section.
This is the rhythm section, yes.
Baroque music was the rhythm of its age.
Yes, and you know, I discovered it wasn't Baroque at all. I think it's you know, never mind. I'm glad they didn't fix it. Okay, so because it's perfect, I think. This has been perfect and it's been beautiful. So I encourage people to not only go to the concerts, because classical music is not dead, go to ENL, that's E-N as in Nancy, L as in Larry, musicseries.org. Find out about their concerts. Find out maybe on how you can get them to come to perform for you. And perhaps you can donate as well to the Enlightenment Music Series, which is a nonprofit organization. 501c3. I'm sorry?
501c3 nonprofit.
501c3. So this weekend, a lot of things to do. If you go to to hear Essential Music Vivaldi by this beautiful group, or go to evolveliveLA.com and get to the workshop, or whatever you're doing, we hope that you... that it's a beautiful thing. I want to give a shout out to a wonderful waitress we had today at Sully's. Robin, I know you're listening, and I hope you enjoy this music, and I hope you take your family to Pasadena to hear this music this weekend, and then someday you can attend Evolve Live LA, because I know you're ripe for it. So, Robin, thank you for being such a great waitress for us today at Sully's, and unless there's anything else... Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's an honor. It's a pleasure.
Really fun.
I am Filippo Voltaggio, thanking all of you for being part of this. I'm here to remind you that as life changes, we're here for you too. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.